The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show, the Wednesday edition. And Dom, I've got a lead for this hour, but I feel like we've got to let the new joiners in on what we've been talking about. We've been talking about the hush money trial, the voter deception trial, and the fact that Trump is charged with 34 felonies, and that is because he covered up the payments to Stormy Daniels. And I don't think there is doubt in the panel about whether or not that's been proven. Is there a doubt? There's no contention over that point. The contention I have with you, apparently opinion-wise, Dom, is whether or not the other crime, the thing that bumps it from a misdemeanor to a felony, has been proven. And if you, and I'm sure you've looked this up, Dom, the lawyers, the prosecution, stated that there was a federal crime that basically Trump broke federal campaign laws, right? Isn't that what's being alleged? And it's not up to the prosecution to specifically prove that crime, because that crime is not charged in the state courts. But they do have to somehow put a bow on this, make the jury understand that this is involved. This is why these misdemeanors become felonies. And I'm not sure that they've effectively proven the federal crime.
Well, I'm not okay. Let's back up a minute. Michael Cohen went to jail, right?
Yes.
And for one of the reasons he went to jail was for campaign finance violations, correct?
I would need clarity on that.
Yes. The Federal Election Campaign Act of 1971, right? The Election Act regulates the influence of money in politics at all times relevant to the information the Election Act set forth. And the following limitations, prohibitions, and reporting requirements that were applicable to Michael Cohen, the defendant, individual one, and his campaign. Now, this is the actual court document. This is the original United States District Court, Southern District of New York, charging document against Michael Cohen. It lists out, you know, the first five, you know, bank and those kinds of things, counts one through five, evasion of assessment of income tax, liability, false statements to a bank. What else are there? False statements, more false statements to banking, and they get down to the campaign finance violations.
Okay, clarify that point, please.
Individual contributions to any presidential candidate, including expenditures coordinated with the candidate or his political committee, are limited to $2,700 per the election and presidential candidates and their committees, prohibited from accepting contributions from individuals in excess of this limit. Corporations are prohibited from making contributions directly to presidential candidates. On or about, June 16th of 2015, individual one, Trump, began his presidential campaign. While Michael Cohen, the defendant, continued to work at the company, did not have a former title, but he had an email address with the campaign. At all times relevant, a corporation won the media company. Now, this is the catch and kill portion of it. The magazine, the chairman, we know this now, Pecker, worked with Cohen to catch and kill these deals. Consistent with your agreement between Peckerman and Cohen, and the defendant, the defendant, negative stories during the course of the campaign, Cohen, with the assistance of Pecker, was able to arrange for the purchase of two stories to suppress them from and prevent them from influencing the election. Knowing the story would be of considerable value because of the election, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Election. So Michael Cohen went to jail in part because of federal election campaign violations. He did that as a proxy for Donald Trump. So, and a Donald Trump reimbursed him plus for that. And then, you know, yeah, Cohen took another 30 or 60 grand on top of that.
And if
but
you,
he's a proxy. If my point, if Michael Cohen, the attorney, the fixer, the proxy, went to jail for that crime, isn't that then the crime? That's the underlying crime. Yes. Election violation. Dude went to jail for it already, man.
Well, he pled guilty to a multitude of crimes. And I don't doubt your rationale or your reasoning, but this is not the Michael Cohen trial. This is the Donald Trump trial. Certainly. And the prosecution has to prove that Donald Trump committed these same acts, these same crimes.
Yes.
Well, we know that Cohen and Pecker did the catch and kill on what's-her-face, Karen McDougal, the playmate. And we know that Pecker killed the doormans, the
$30,000. $30,000 doorman, correct, yes.
And Michael Cohen put up $130,000, which he allegedly was reimbursed for, which he, you know, depending on whether or not you believe the story. But guess what? None of those people are Donald Trump specifically. They're David Pecker and they're Michael Cohen that made those specific deals. Now, you've got to make some leap from, well, of course, they were doing so for the boss, right?
Of course.
Of course. That would be our logical conclusion. But how do you bridge that gap? How do you make that stick? How do you make it believable that this was not the independent act?
You talk about the specific concerns they had about the election. You bring in Hope Hicks. You bring in David Pecker. You bring in the financial records. You bring in the record where the CFO says this is how it's breaking down.
Was the CFO in court? I didn't see.
He was not. No,
I didn't see him. I didn't see Keith Schiller. In fact, I didn't see anyone clearly tie Donald Trump to that specific crime, except for Michael Cohen, who got caught in a lie, perhaps, and certainly confessed to stealing through the very same transaction.
But that's irrelevant to the case. The only thing that would happen to do is maybe the jury would.
I just don't think they proved it, Dom.
That they would consider that when they judge his character.
I don't think they've proven that beyond a reasonable doubt to 12 jurors.
Now you're going into your opinion of what you don't think they've proven. Your question was, what is the underlying crime that makes two separate misdemeanors
that they've proven
into a felony? The underlying crime, of course, Cody, is the campaign finance violation, the very crime that Cohen already went to jail for. So, yes, it is a crime to do those things. He went to jail for it. Donald Trump did those things through Pecker and Cohen. Not what you have to prove. You got to prove the link between Donald Trump, Pecker and Cohen, and all the other people involved.
What about John Edwards? He was convicted on this, right? No, he was not. He was vindicated on this very same set of allegations.
John Edwards is not Donald Trump and Pecker and Cohen. You talk about who's not who. We're talking about this case. And now, so my answer to you is Federal Election Campaign Act of 1971. That's what was violated. That's what Cohen went to jail for. That is the underlying crime that allows for the bump up to the felony. Now, you can argue about whether or not the prosecutor did a fine job in articulating the circumstances in which Donald Trump engaged and helped to make this happen. And that's for the jury to decide. But now you have your answer. You're welcome.
It's an insufficient answer. It doesn't convince. It's an non-convincing answer.
I went to jail for it, man. Come on. Are you kidding me?
Well, I'm convinced Cohen's guilty. 844-967-2789. Let's go to the phones. Gerald, I understand you're an attorney, sir, and I suspect you have an opinion. Let us have it.
Yeah.
Hello, Gerald.
My opinion is that Dom is correct and you don't understand the case. With all due respect, this involves not federal election fraud law, but New York State election fraud law. That's the difference between this and the Cohen case.
But, Gerald, my understanding is that's not what is being alleged. He was charged in the state courts, no doubt. But the crime that they're alleging that is the bump up from the misdemeanor to the felonies is a federal crime.
No, you're just wrong on that.
Dom, you just read it to the man, did you not?
I read the federal crime from the Cohen that he was prosecuted by the SDNY. The SDNY did not choose to prosecute Trump.
So, Gerald, you're saying they're not alleging the same underlying crime that Dom just thought he hit a home run with?
A state version of the federal crime, Gerald. Is that accurate?
That's right. Yes.
Thank you.
And actually, the intent to falsify, to commit fraud, which is the first crime, with the intent to commit election fraud is the basis of this case. And of course, none of us know what the final result will be. It's based on a factual assessment by the jury. Yeah. But Dom does understand the case correctly. And
do you think that's been proven, sir? Because I listened every day of the testimony, and I watched the transcripts as they were coming out live. And you think they proved the underlying crime that bumps it from a misdemeanor to a felony? And you think they connected Donald Trump clearly to that crime?
I do. But it's going to be up to the jury, 12 people, to look at the transcripts, go over their notes, to do a methodical deliberation of all the evidence, which includes 20 witnesses, including Michael Cohen, to look at what Robert Costello said, which was the defense case, along with one paralegal, and to listen to the instructions of Judge Marchand, and finally come to an application of the law to the facts to decide whether he was guilty beyond a reasonable doubt.
Gerald, as I understand it, the prosecutors actually put three potential crimes out there. They didn't even land on a singular crime. And as they are going through, and I'm just going on some of the reporting I've seen today, as they're still trying to figure out what the charge to the jury will be with the judge and the plaintiffs and the prosecutors and the defendant's jury, defendant's attorneys are arguing about what are we going to do, a check the box, what the crime is. If this was laid out so specifically and clearly as you and Dom seem to think, sir, why would we be going through this in jury instructions?
Jury instructions always involves a contest between the sides.
Sure,
in terms
that part
of
I understand, Gerald.
Analyzing what the appropriate way to instruct the jury is. Judge Marchand listened to both sides about their views on the instruction and has made some decisions, but is going to articulate what his decisions are tomorrow, we expect.
Gerald, do you think there should be a unanimous decision from the jury on what the underlying crime that bumps up this from a misdemeanor to a felony?
Yes, but New York law doesn't even require that the second crime be proved by beyond a reasonable doubt. It requires that be proved to be the reason for the initial fraud. And
excellent explanation, Gerald. I'm sure there's more you'd like to tell us, but we're out of time for now. More Devil's Advocates come right back.
You're listening to the radio show your mother warned you about, The Devil's Advocates.
And thank you for listening to The Devil's Advocates radio show. Join the political party on the lines or texting at 844-967-2789.
Tom, I want to reference reporting at Politico. I want to quote my source clearly and accurately. This was updated on May 13th of 2024, and we're talking about the charges, and they talked about the strengths of the case and the weaknesses of the case. And here's what Politico says is a weakness of the case. And this would seemingly contradict what Gerald just said. Elevating the business records charges into felonies by linking them to an underlying federal election violation. Now, that's what you said, Dom. But Gerald said, no, they're state charges. Not to my understanding. They're trying to say that a federal charge is the reason the state charges bump from misdemeanors to felonies. And that, according to Politico, is a novel legal theory, meaning hasn't been used before, that would test the interaction of state and federal laws. And I have no doubt that Michael Cohen was convicted on that and multiple other crimes, although even in the testimony he gave, he was still refuting whether or not he was guilty of all the crimes that he pled guilty to. I know he was charged and convicted because he pled guilty to the federal elections crimes, along with tax evasion and some other stuff that had nothing to do with Donald Trump. Sort of a catch-all. They said they had charged his wife. He did also testify to that fact. It was plead guilty or they're going to charge his wife with tax evasion. And he said that's why he did it. So I'm not saying he didn't commit that crime. I'm just saying his motivation as related during his testimony in the Trump Trump trial was basically he wanted to keep his wife out of prison. This was his criming, not his wife. So anyways, I'm not saying that's not what was proven. That's what he pled to. He was convicted on the federal crime. The federal crime, which is not clearly alleged but is spelled out by the prosecutors, is a federal crime which bumps state charges up to felonies if they've proven it, which Gerald, and I do understand Gerald, they don't have to prove the underlying crime. They didn't even charge the federal crime, right? They don't even have jurisdiction to charge the federal crime. But you've got to convince that jury that you've met that standard or the felonies don't hold up.
Well, certainly. I mean, you have to convince the jury regardless. So that's why we're here. Let me ask you this, Curdy. I mean, I get the point, but do you think it should be illegal for people to engage in this kind of behavior to keep information from the public in the midst of their own election? I mean, it violates the limits.
Is it okay if it's campaign limit to keep your stock value from plummeting because some bad news might get out to corporate America about your actions, some employee,
those are the boss? Those are different laws. I mean, they're talking about campaign laws, not, you know, publicly traded. Is it privately traded? Is it publicly traded?
But
talking about bad analogies, man. That's that nothing to do with campaign finance violations.
But my point is, I'm trying to make the analogy, Dom, that simply paying someone off to keep their mouth shut, an NDA, is well established under the law, right? Sure. In a business context, that's perfectly acceptable, which would have a financial motive, which could be things like stock price. But you're telling me that if the same interaction happens during an elective campaign, that must be paid for with donor money? I mean, what if it's not a contribution? What if the private party reimburses a guy for making the payment, doesn't want to be embarrassed, makes the payment, gets reimbursed by the boss? Is that in and of itself a crime? Well, when you go and commit the secondary crime of claiming it on your taxes falsely, that becomes a bookkeeping crime, which been proven.
If it's on the books and was pled guilty to by Cohen, obviously that's a crime.
He was differently motivated.
But the motivation is irrelevant to this, man.
Catch-all of five different crimes and also say you're going to charge the wife and throw her in prison, the guy says, okay, I'll plead to everything.
Prosecutor squeezing the defendant. Okay, yes, and?
That doesn't mean you've proved the same crime against the next guy.
The crime that Cohen pled guilty to, he was a proxy for Trump in that regard, Curry. They violated campaign finance laws, period. That's it. You can pay someone. The circumstances could be different. You pay someone to keep the mouth shut, or you can bribe someone. Both of those things, an NDA or a bribery, can be considered. Well, I'm just giving money to someone to do what I want them to do. In one circumstance, it could be a totally legit NDA. In the other one, it could be considered bribery. So it depends on the circumstances and the laws.
What draws the distinction for you, Don?
The fact that in this particular case, the fact that the guy, Donald Trump, was running for president, pulled the trigger, did this transaction after Hollywood, yada, yada, yada. We know the backstory, man. They revived this thing. They made a point to it that was specifically to impact the election. Are you going to tell me that you don't believe for a minute that Donald Trump and this whole catch and kill scheme was started in 2017, man? This was what they were going to do. Anything comes
out,
we're going to try it.
But it's not the action of suppressing the information. That in and of itself is not a crime. You can suppress bad information about the candidate. That is not a crime.
You can't pay more than $2,700. If the effort is to do that and you pay more than $2,700 for election.
Is she running? Is that a campaign contribution to Stormy?
It's a campaign contribution to Trump.
Well, you've done a better job of tying that together than I feel like the prosecutors did.
I guess I missed my calling. 844-967-2789. Mark from the SAC, you are up. What are your thoughts today?
Yeah, part of this here is, didn't Donald Trump book his business expenses rather than personal expenses, using the money from his company to pay off these things, which clearly is a, you know, unless the company's actually paying, you know, that they consider that a business expense to pay off the major stockholders' misdeeds. I mean, that's part of this as well. I mean, that the whole purpose was to deceive. From start to finish, the whole purpose was to deceive and end.
Trump was willing to pay her cash. Trump made the statement. He's on the tape saying, let's pay cash. Cohen said, no. I got a different plan.
Well, if he's on tape saying paying cash, then that clearly indicates he wanted to.
Is there something illegal about paying cash? If Donald Trump had made a direct $130,000 cash payment to Stormy Daniels, I don't think there's any crime.
That had to be federally reported, though, because that kind of cash flowing back and forth, at least in drug crimes, they bust people in drug crime.
It's a business transaction.
The Devil's Advocates. Rock and roll political commentary in a top 40 world. Pretty fly for a
white guy. Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Wednesday edition. Dom, I got to come back to the John Edwards for just a minute. This is the only parallel case, presidential campaign. Guy has an affair, uses donor money to pay off the mistress who eventually fathered a love child with, apparently. Almost $1 million in donor money. Campaign finance, violation. Seems very clear, right? Well, he went to trial on federal charges. And the only charge that the jury could come to a conclusion on, the only one they didn't hang on, was whether or not he violated campaign finance charges with donations exceeding $2,300 at the time. That was the only thing they acquitted him on. And I'm saying there's a lot of parallels between what is alleged against Trump, what the prosecutors are supposedly using, a federal statute that Cohen was convicted of, along with other charges, which, if you believe Cohen's side, he only pled guilty because his wife was going to be charged with tax evasion. So he took the whole ball of wax and he pled guilty to all of them. And by your logic, and it makes sense, Dom, if it's simple A to B to C logic, sure, it makes sense. Cohen violated federal campaign finance laws. He pled guilty, and he was doing so on behalf of the boss. But again, I would assert Trump proposed a plan that would not have been a specific violation of campaign finance laws. If Trump used personal resources to the tune of $130,000,
okay, but he didn't.
But he offered to, and
but he didn't. It doesn't. Okay,
but now you got to prove that Trump wanted Cohen to violate the laws, and I'm not sure that that's happened, Dom. Again, I'm not sure that they've proven the overarching federal elections crime. And if Trump had a rationale that would have solved that problem, and his own fixer said, "No, I got a better idea. I'll pay her, and you can reimburse me." And that's what he did? Well, you haven't proven that Trump was in on the crime, that he wanted that criminal action to happen. Because
plan. Disregarding David Pecker's admission as well and their media company, that they did this in behalf and for Trump. You totally throw that out.
Well, David Pecker may have violated campaign finance. That may be a violation on David Pecker's behalf, but he's been given amnesty for his testimony. He's not at trial either. The only guy at trial is Trump here. Not whether or not Cohen violated laws,
because
he was convicted.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, this is a lot more convoluted than you seem to think it is.
I think you're making it more convoluted than it needs to be. The charging statements from the Manhattan DA. Number one, quote, defendant Donald J. Trump repeatedly and fraudulently falsified New York business records to conceal criminal conduct that hid damaging information from the voting public during the 2016 presidential election, right?
I have no doubt that he cooked the books eventually and paid Cohen back because we saw the checks with his signatures. What I'm doubting is whether or not you've proved a clear finance violation when Trump offered to pay Stormy cash and Cohen said, no, I got a different plan, and by Cohen inserting himself in the middle and paying.
If I may, Michael, that wasn't Stormy. That was the playmate. The recording is of Cohen talking about the playmate, not Stormy Daniels, which was done 12 days before the election. The whole thing was done for the election. They cooked up the catch and kill scheme for the election.
David Pecker was never reimbursed. David Pecker ate that $150,000.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. One component of the scheme was that at the defendant's request, the lawyer who worked for Trump, lawyer A, convertly, again, this is Cohen, we know this, right? The participants took steps that mischaracterized, for tax purposes, the true nature of the payments in furtherance of the scheme. I guess I'm not clear what you think has not been specifically
the scheme.
Articulated.
The scheme.
The scheme.
The criminal scheme other than the cooking of the books. Now, if he wasn't running for president and the same circumstances happened, do you think Donald Trump is charged with 34 felonies? Meaning, if he paid off a porn star
for president, right? But he wouldn't be in violation of campaign finance laws if he wasn't running for president. And now, your other
John Edwards.
Edwards, thank you. Your comparison to that. I don't remember. It's been a while on that, but he wasn't running for office at the time. Correct?
Yes, he was. He was running for the presidency of the United States. It he is was the most the parallel the example ever.
At the during the time of the
yes.
payoff,
yes,
he was okay.
All he's right. running for president. He paid off his mistress with donor money, $1 million. The only charge he was acquitted on was the federal campaign finance excessive campaign donation limits. That's the only one the jury threw out.
From the charging document, after the election, Trump reimbursed reimbursed Cohen through a series of monthly checks, first from the Donald J. Trump Revocable Trust, a trust created under laws of New York to which the Trump Organization entity assets after the defendant was elected president, and then from his bank account, each check processed by the Trump Organization, and each check was disguised as a payment for legal services rendered to a given month, 2017, pursuant to a retainer, quote-unquote retainer agreement. So you think all this is just, what, circumstantial?
No, I didn't say it was circumstantial. I think there's clear evidence that they cooked the books. What I don't think the prosecution ever got around to doing was clarifying the federal violation and proving it. That's the part I am very concerned about.
They don't have to. That is the other point. They didn't have to, as our caller Gerald said. And as
Gerald was also wrong about whether it was state charges or federal charges. So I appreciate the fact he's an attorney.
I mean, I don't know, man.
It's not his case.
Article, and it was there. I'm not clear that was a specific fact that was reporting on it.
I went back to find reporting that supported my clear understanding that they were using a novel concept, which was they're using state charges, bumped up the felonies, but the underlying alleged crime was a federal crime. If you listen to any of these yahoos, they'll point out the SDNY never felt the need to prosecute. And you can say, well, that's because of the catch and kill. And I've certainly made that assertion myself. But perhaps it's also about the unreliable testimony and the fact that the federal courts or the federal prosecutors had already bitten the bullet and lost and got handed their lunches on John Edwards, a very parallel allegation.
If Cohen goes to jail for the crime that he did for Donald Trump, don't all you have to do is prove, or at least convince the jury, that Donald Trump wanted that done on his behalf, as everybody is testifying to? Everybody else is lying? I mean, Trump wrote the checks from at least two, maybe three different accounts. They hit it. They did the books. They did it before the election. They did it in furtherance of the conspiracy to hide, to catch and kill negative stories during an election. And in every way, shape, and form, to deny the American people, number one, the ability to make an informed decision.
I'm not sure that part of it's a crime. That keeps saying it, and you keep reading it to me, but denying the American people of the right to know that Trump had an affair with Stormy Daniels, I don't think rises to the level of crime. You haven't convinced me. The prosecution certainly hasn't convinced me. Whether or not the transaction of money creates another federal crime, I'm just saying the last time someone got charged with this, they were acquitted. It was John Edwards.
844-967-2789. Let's go, Paul. You're up. Welcome, Paulie. What do you got for us?
Hey, Paul.
Hey, good afternoon, Devils. I happen to agree with, as much as I hate to, I happen to agree with Crudy. Hey, it's just when
why do you hate to agree with me? I make a lot of good salient points some days.
Well, you do, but I just like Dom better as well. Hey,
understandably, Paulie, understandably.
Yeah, he's really cool at parties. Not that you're not cool, but he's cooler at parties. And Mrs. Wiskel really likes him. Hey, it only takes one juror, right, Crudy? Correct? Just one
sure.
juror?
Only takes one juror to hang the jury on the charges.
Yeah, that's why I'm agreeing with you. And this is the last trial before the election. And once your theory comes true, that's wind in Trump's sails and an already close election. So I would say that he's going to shout this from the rooftops. And, boy, it's going to be something else here. You guys are going to have to be on your A game here in Milwaukee when the convention rolls around. So I agree with you, Crudy. And you guys have a great day. Thanks.
Thank you, Wisco. 844-967-2789. Let's sneak at least one more in here. David from Mequon. How you doing, David?
Hello, David.
Good, guys. I really quickly, so Crudy, I actually agree with you as well. Dom, I'm just going to say a couple things.
Well, you got me nervous. If you're agreeing with me, I take Dom's side. But tell me why.
Okay, so basically, there's two things that this is lacking. Big ones. First, it was an expired chargeable misdemeanor after 2 years that was roughly 5 years ago. That's number one. And then
wait, hang on, David. I want to explain that to me. What's your logic on that?
The misdemeanor statute of limitations have expired.
Yes. Right. So after 2 years, that misdemeanor expired, and that was now 5 years ago.
Now, David, I can speak to this.
Let me pause there. Now, my understanding of New York law is if you are out of the state, the time stops.
He was out of jurisdiction, David, so Trump technically made himself, continued the clock ticking because he moved out of the New York jurisdiction.
Now, do you disagree with that, or it's one thing to not like that law, David, but do you concur that that is why this is able to be charged at this point?
Well, I mean, if it was to be, but it shouldn't be a felony. It was just a misdemeanor. That's all.
Right. That's why the combination of the two misdemeanors becomes a felony. So one, we agree that they have the right to bring the charge because the statute of limitations pauses once the defendant leaves the state and starts up again once he goes back. So we concur on that.
From my understanding, that's never happened in the history of the United States.
That's happened, David. People have had statute of limitations extended for a variety of quote unquote technicalities, but being out of the jurisdiction is hardly a technicality.
It was a federal misdemeanor, and now we're charging him with a state felony? I mean,
that part's true to my understanding, David. The alleged underlying federal crime is also a misdemeanor, but because the cooking of the books is done in furtherance of a crime, which happens to be a federal misdemeanor, that bumps all of the underlying charges up to a felony, and that is a novel concept.
So the one thing, I guess my question to both of you is this. So I understand Cohen admitted that he stole, what, $30,000?
Times two, 60. 60 grand, actually, David. One out of every $7 involved in that transaction was directly stolen by Cohen.
So is he going to get zapped now with the felony, or did he get immunity?
I mean, he's already served time, and he was there as a subpoenaed witness. The fact that he admitted to larceny, I believe that what the charge would be, that would be a more substantial crime, what he admitted to on the stand, than any of the underlying crimes that Trump is charged with at trial.
Okay. Yeah,
that might twist the jury a little bit. I mean, I definitely thought that was a big deal. And Todd Blanche would have been smart just to end with Michael Cohen bringing on Costello to make Michael Cohen look good by comparison. I mean, that's hard.
Yeah, right.
So it wasn't a perfect match played by the defendants. But, David, I don't disagree with you. when one of the witnesses confesses to a greater crime than the defendant sitting in the chair, and he hasn't been charged with that crime, I got to wonder what I'm doing ruling on the other guy.
That's exactly my point.
Well, David, the point is that Cohen isn't on trial, and my understanding is the prosecutors were aware of the theft prior to it, so they played their hand the way they did, and the defense probably could have taken them to task on that, chose not to. And not only did they miss an opportunity to get into Cohen about, you know, $1 every seven, they also, you know, brought Costello on to make Cohen look good. So that was bad. But David, it's not just Cohen. It's all we've had 20 days of trial, man. We had Pecker up there. We had Hope Hicks talking. We had other people coming and talking about how this whole thing went down.
I'm just not clear that any other person corroborated the actual underlying crime that Trump is supposed to be connected to. If your only connection is Michael Cohen, who's robbing the guy he's also testifying against, I'm just saying you're going to get a twisted jury. Come back, more Devils.
Occupy didn't start on Wall Street. It started on our street. The Devil's
Advocate. And here, Mike, thank you for listening to Devil Advocate Radio. The phone lines open, going there shortly at 844-967-2789.
Dominic, the jury is in. Crudy loves cherry pie. And
yeah, we know that.
Nikki Haley will vote for Donald Trump in 2024.
And there's your VP?
Doubtful.
Come on, man. Who else is getting any she got to bring her voters, man. She pulled 20% like in Indiana or something. She wasn't even running anymore.
I have no doubt that would be the strategic choice. I think she is not sufficiently loyal. From Trump's perspective, you know what I'm saying.
You would even say that. This kind of goes to show you where that party is.
844-967-2789. Dynamo Dave is in Duluth, Minnesota. Welcome, Dave. What do you got for us?
Hey, Dave.
Hey, gentlemen. Good. Thank you for taking my call. Hey, about 4 weeks from now is the Midwest Renewable Energy Fair in your guys' backyard there, Madison, in Amherst, Wisconsin, not far from Stevens Point. I wonder if you guys could make a broadcast from there.
What is it? Dynamo Dave?
The Midwest Renewable Energy Fair. It's been going on for many, many, many years.
I've been. Crudy likes solar. I like PV solar, dude. Yeah, are you going to be there, Dave?
I'll be there. I'll be looking for both of you guys.
Is it over a weekend, Dave? Because Stevens Point is actually near my cabin. I might actually go up there if it's a weekend.
It's Friday, you know, Friday, June 21st, Saturday, June 22nd. This year, there is no Sunday one. So it's just Friday.
Well, Dave, we're going to have a conflict on the 22nd because Dom and I are doing the naked bike ride in Milwaukee.
Well, they're bikes, so that's energy friendly.
You guys.
Well, part of that is a protest against petroleum and non-renewable stuff. So, Dynamo Dave, you should be proud if we go streaking on our bikes that day.
And body positivity.
I will be proud of you. Yes.
Any other political thoughts today, Dave? Remind me, dude. I might go. But any other political thoughts?
Yeah, please do. Yeah, one thing I want to ask you guys. You know, there's back here in Minneapolis, there's a civil lawsuit against that Derek Chauvin. Some woman filed a lawsuit, $9 million. I was wondering if cities take out like insurance, civil or liability insurance, so they're not always having to pay out these big, huge things through taxpayer money.
I'm not clear. Milwaukee seemingly takes them out of their general budget, and they've had a number of payoffs. They had a former Bucks player. Mm-hmm. They had the family of Dontre Hamilton, who was a guy that got beat to death in the park for no apparent reason other than he was sleeping on a bench. There's been a lot of police violation of citizens and suspects. Yeah, there's been a lot of payoffs from Milwaukee specifically, and they all come right out of the bunch of Dynamo Dave.
Yeah, that was like 10 years ago. Dontre Hamilton was shot in Milwaukee by the police for sleeping in a park.
Cities segment that out of their budget, say, okay, the police department, it's going to come out of their budget, and then they have to then train their officers so that they're not going to have to allocate in their budget for these civil lawsuits or these lawsuits going against them. You know what I mean? So it's not hitting the whole city's budget.
Well, Dynamo Dave, that's where the whole defund the police came from. And unfortunately, at least as a rhetorical tool, it hasn't really gone the way we would hope. Defunding the police, I would say demilitarizing the police would be a good start point. I don't think the police officers should have a tank. I'm just saying, Dave. If I can't have a tank, they should not have a tank.
Yeah. What does the ACLU say about having own your own tank? And
you know, my understanding is the gas mileage quite low on the tank.
Oh yeah.
But do you remember about a decade ago we had former Madison police chief Koval?
Oh, he loved that thing.
And they got proud of the tank. They got themselves their new armored vehicle. And he said, no, I'll think of it more as like an SUV on steroids. And I'm like, that thing's a tank, man. It's literally a tank. It's an armored vehicle. Do we have that much call for armored vehicles in Madison?
It doesn't tank have a turret, you know, and they shoot the shells. I mean, this thing isn't shooting shells. It's not a tank. It's an armored vehicle, man.
Oh, let's just call it an SUV totally on steroids. Yeah. Did it have truck nuts in the back? Because otherwise it's not a real recreational vehicle.
That's a great look.
Don, what say you, Nikki Haley, does she think that Trump is going to be exonerated at trial? And now, before the verdict, is the time to get out front and let people know nothing this man could do will lose her vote.
Welcome to MAGA. Trump, guilty by Friday. Next week.
Rich, here's the problem, man. When you play the cherry pie song, there better be some cherry pie.
He's in withdrawal right now.
I'm not quite ready to abuse the radio and say, someone please bring me cherry pie. But if it happened,
you need it,
I'd be eternally grateful. It's like that day the girl said banana bread and there was no banana bread.
And there was banana bread.
But when I did ask for the cookies, then the audience rose to that occasion over the course of weeks. If I could only have cherry pies all summer long, Door County preferred.
Oh, now you're picking.
Well, if I can choose.
I mean, may as well throw an opinion out there.
844-967-2789. A happier happy hour. Locked and loaded. You know, Joe Biden wanted to kill Trump.
Yeah.
Did you hear that?
I heard that.
It must be true. They're talking about it on the Fox News.
He's got unlimited liability, so what's the problem?
Presidential immunity.